Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Build It Better. I'm your host, Jesse Tomczyk. With me, as always, is Adam. Say hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam. Buckle up, everyone. We've got a couple peeps here. We are going to talk about React Server Components, WTF RSC. Dane and Dustin are here from this dot.
That's not what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Oh, that's not what we're talking about today?
No, we were going to talk about... See, this is what we're rare. We were going to talk about the Next.js...
The Next.js app directory.
App directory and the new Next.js, you know, along with server components, but also the new
sort
of architecture that Next.js is sort of pushing. So that's our topic today. But we have some guests, too.
Dustin, Dane, how are you guys?
Dustin Goodman, engineering manager at this dot.
Previously, engineering astronaut at this dot. Like he got promoted to manager.
Well, you know how if you're really good at something, they take you away from it and make you do something
else. Right? That's a deep cut for all those VIP long listeners out there.
I don't know. I think
you don't
always
remember, do you? I called you an engineering astronaut last time you were on.
Yeah.
I was listening.
And returning guest, another returning guest, Dane can do. Dane can indeed do.
Hello.
Welcome back after our awesome conversation about server components. He's back to talk about Next.js and how.
So Next.js has this app directory that's in beta in Next.js 13.
It's not in beta anymore. It's up.
They released it last week during the conference. That's the whole thing. That's why we're having this conversation.
That's why we're talking about it.
Is it any better than it was in beta? Because I tried it a year ago.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Wait, oh, yeah.
It came out in beta a year ago.
Not
a year.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
What is time but a construct?
It's a pretty fast
circle. Sorry, I'm not going to get metaphysical on this.
All right. So, Dustin, give us the rundown on the app directory. It is a server side first.
Yeah, so I had the fun pleasure of playing with this over the weekend. I was stuck in an airport for 5 hours. Like, what better to do than play with the new Next?
Were you at least in a nice airport?
No, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna name any names.
You're not gonna shame the city.
No, I'm not.
So you were
in Cleveland. Two airports.
That's what you're saying. You were in Cleveland.
Not far off.
Not too far from Cleveland, actually. But I won't shame that city because I don't want to make any enemies of people I don't know. Next.js is now server components first app directory architecture. So
that is a word salad.
I know, that was a lot. Let's break this down real quick. So Next.js, maybe 2 months ago at this point, let's just call it 2 months ago, even though it's only been a week, was, you know, you built your pages, you could add your server-side props, your static props, you could build things, and you just had pages galore. Everything was, you could have a server running application that gets rendered and then rehydrated on the client, but it was a client-first ecosystem. Well, now with the official release of React Server Components, they've decided to go for a React Server Components first app directory. So now everything is server mode by default.
I mean, I feel like that's okay in theory. Like, you say that and it doesn't make me mad.
No,
but
the next thing I'm going to say is probably going to make you mad, though.
Because it's server side first. You know, we've been doing this. We've been headed this direction for a long time, right? We've done SPAs. They're super fat. They're really inefficient. Yada, yada, yada. They're hard to do on 80% of devices because they're slow. Blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, thin client, ready to go.
Did you just yada, yada, yada SPAs?
Crazy. He did.
Dude, SPAs, like, come on. Like,
okay, we're going to take it and we're going to go with it. So I spent about 15 minutes before I hit my first are you kidding me moment with the new Next.js. This is where it enraged me a little bit. I'm going to compare it to something in a minute and people aren't going to like me for it, but I'm going to make the comparison. First thing you're going to try is to build a component, right? And you're probably going to do something like a counter because it's got state. You want to see how state works in this new ecosystem. And you're going to go build your counter component, right? And you're going to throw it into your page. And you're going to expect it to render. And everything's going to be great. Well, you run that the Next.js server that runs locally. And you load up the page with your counter component. And you see a nice, big, fat, like, I can't render this error. And you're like, wait, what? And that was my first WTF of the day. Now, why is it doing that? Because everything's server first. You have no concept of state. State's not, you can't use hooks on the server. So first things first is you got to get out of server mode. So how do you get out of server mode? Do you just put a component in the components directory and it runs in client mode? That's what I was hoping was going to happen. No, I read the docs. You have to put an explicit double quoted use client at the top of any file. Now,
Hold
on.
Did you say double quoted?
I did say double quoted. It might work with single quotes, but
it's not even valid. It's not even valid JavaScript. It's just a file header.
No. It's just like if you put use strict at the top of a JavaScript file.
Yeah, it's a directive.
Okay, it's not like in comment. It's not like commented out.
No,
it's not, like not a comment. It's just like a string that sits at the top of the.
Oh, yeah, it's just a string. Now, what's fun is if you want to do the server version of it, you actually have to import the directive that way, and then that one's all screwy. So you can't just do use server to get out of client mode. You have to import server back in. I don't know why that's a thing, but that's fun.
Because you can use server components as a child of a client component.
And that only was the next thing I was going to share.
A child.
So right. You can go parent is a server or client. You can start anywhere. Let's just assume server because that's how Next.js starts you. So you're in server mode. You add a client side component, but then it has a child that's a server component. You can totally switch back to server mode at that point. So you can keep flip-flopping the whole way down the component tree and be server client mode depending on what's going on.
And that works because of suspense.
Because of suspense is my understanding. And I'm not entirely sure. I got more
engine that they're doing where they pass the big string of gibberish diff.
Big string of gibberish. That's server component.
It's in the docs. You can just look it up.
Yeah.
The big string of gibberish
diff. Yeah. And I'm going to just say, like, and then here's the other catch. The second you move into client mode, any child of that component is now in client mode and ditto for server. So you have to explicitly find your component tree, find your entry points for client and server, and explicitly toggle them on and off. So you have to remember where you have to constantly remember, am I server or am I client mode right now?
Aren't you, by default, you're always in server unless you put the client directive, right?
Correct. And there's no next config to just turn it off for the whole thing. So like I was actually messaging with good old Lee Robinson. Love you, Lee. You actually are fantastic to talk to. I love talking to you. But on Twitter, he responded and he's like, yeah, just put use client at the top of the root level app and the whole thing will be in client mode. Because I was asking him like, how do I do just like rapid development and prototyping? Like I'm used to classic Next. I want to, you know, just be in client mode all the time. I don't have to think about how to differentiate my server and client components from the get-go. And that his solution was you have to do it at the root level. I talked to Jesse in Discord a little bit, and then we were like, hey, Lee, why don't you move this to the next? Well, next config, and I'm still waiting to hear back from him. I'm hoping he accepts that as a good proposal. But Lee, if you're listening to this, please, I beg you.
Yeah, because, I mean, ostensibly it was or is a Next-specific configuration that it defaults to server, right? Because React doesn't just default to server. Like, it's doing something first to say server first.
But, like, do you need at all to not be server first? Because I'm thinking about how this would work, right? And so you're going to be not, even if you're not going to have a server rendered app, let's say you're making an SBA, the server stuff is going to happen at build time. That's really all, right? It's just like, okay, well, this is like going to push out this. This is going to be your layout. This is going to be your stuff. And there might be a lot of spinners or something because it's an SBA, but it's going to render that first. And then the client side stuff will kick in, right? Like you could do a lot and not even use server components. Not even use
Client components.
I guess server components. You could use server components, but just the ones that render. You could not use a wait is all I mean. You use server components that just render DOM to set up a bunch of stuff. And then you could have your like client components peppered in there wherever you need like interaction, right?
Yeah, but think about it this way. Like, you're building a new page, something that's highly interactive, okay? We talk about this all the time. Like, how should I go build this interactive page? Well, I'm just going to put it all on as a single component. I'm not going to think about, like, any refactors. I'm not going to think about component structure. I just want to, like, get the thing working on the page first, right? Well, now I can't I'm doing a dynamic page. I need JavaScript enabled. I need to be able to do more than what progressive enhancement enables me to do. So like, I want to just be in like full client mode and then refactor into server mode eventually, right? Now I have to have that consideration up front. And because at the injection point, the page level injection point is server mode, like I can't just write a use state. I can't just write a use effect. I have to explicitly remember to go into client mode to do all those refactors. And this is why I pitched to Lee, like, hey, can I just like turn it off at the app level for like while I'm developing? Somebody will catch that in PR. Like, you shouldn't ever commit that change. And then I'm back in server mode, and then I can start figuring, okay, I need a, here's a line, here are my components, let me do all my refactors, and then, you know, deal with that at the PR level. But like, I don't have that ability now. So now I have to think like, okay, if I have an interactive component, like I have to go build that interactive component and then bring it in, not the other way around.
But it just depends on what you're saying. This is the route directory, right? It assumes routes. So assuming you have one route and this is all you care about right now, then you can just make your like app component have use client at the top and you get everything you just asked for. And then all you do is in like the one route page.tsx, you return app component. Right, it's just adding that like one little tiny step. It's not really that bad, right? That you need like a feature.
And well, and this is why I want the other feature. That tiny little use client thing, because of how it works and where the placement is, could look very intentional. Like somebody might actually be like, I'm just building a spa all of a sudden. And like somebody checked that in and it's like, oh, we're building a spa now? Okay, that's cool. Like I'll assume that's like it's one of those lines of code that is so detrimental to the overall performance of what you're trying to gain by moving to Active Directory and server components that if you're not paying attention to it, all of a sudden you've just foobarred your entire application. So like moving into the configuration, like I don't know about you, but like configuration changes, I always look at those with two or three levels of scrutiny. I even ask questions. So like I would question if it was there and like, oh, somebody was just doing experimental like testing, they just needed it on. Okay, that needs to come out before this comes down. But with the use client at the top of a page or even at the top of the app root, like I don't know, would you catch that? It's such a subtle thing.
Is it?
Yeah. It seems like the question that's been coming up a lot recently, and what's the best way to split up server and client code? Do you do it at the file level, or like what they're trying out with Bling, being able to be more granular with it by using like callback functions and stuff like this? I've seen Dan say that they've tried a lot of those things and landed on the, I believe, the file based solution. For different reasons, I'm not exactly sure what those are, though. But I can see that being an issue.
So they landed on file-based solution because I like page.client, you know, or app.client.js, or like profile.server.tsx. Like those make sense to me immediately. Like you don't even need to know what's in them. Like, okay, I know fundamentally where this file should be rendered.
Right.
As opposed
like
to like
what you get in Remix.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned that Dan was like, yeah, file based seems to be more appropriate, but Next is going with this meta string or file string.
Well, I think it's still file based, right? It's just the directive is how you identify it as opposed to
why not use a decorator?
Like a file name dot server, something like that.
What do you mean a decorator?
What's so like for? You could use a file name like my component $.txx and that's a server component, or you could do my component .server.tsx versus my server my component .client.tsx, and then you have this split. I mean, that's very much what the Remix team did to a degree. But at the same time, it's like, is that actually what you want to be doing at that point?
Actually, that's an important differentiation too. Technically, the directive at the top, use client, is a React thing, not a Next.js thing. This is the React.
It is. It's a React.
That's That is like a React thing.
Meta text, meta.
No, that's a React thing specifically, and that's okay. Why there's the library where you do the import. Now, the way it's interpreted and handled, that's a next thing. Like how they're deciding to do that differentiation, like that's specific to them. And to be in server mode by default, that's a them thing. But in you could do the same thing in a. I don't know what the preferred method is anymore. It's not create React app, but it's not Vite either. So, I mean, Dan's officially said on Twitter, like, you should be using a framework if you're using React these days. But he hasn't specified anything outside of Next.
Default is Next.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the preferred framework. But
yeah, right? I mean, I remember when Dan and I were working on the docs, that was kind of where they were at that point. It's like, hey, we're going to use Next. Like, that's a decision.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly a decision.
So there's some other cool features that we haven't gotten into, too. There is form actions. Have you guys seen this and talked about this yet?
Well, before we get into form actions, can we talk about the decision to globally override fetch?
Fetch, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. As in, what the fetch? Get out of my fetch.
It's not just that. But like, I don't know what to tell you. On it. Like,
this is not okay. Like, I am so fundamentally against this. It's like Moo Tools meets Squish meets get the fetch out of my fetch.
I think this is absolute
great. Do you? I mean, I understand why they did it, and it makes me less mad about it. I don't know if there's a better solution. Do you have one?
So I don't know. Let's clarify what it is. So from React. I believe this is React, right? And not Next, or yes. Is this Next?
This is React. This is a React thing.
And the idea is that it's going to automatically deduplicate requests, if I'm not mistaken, right? So that if you make the same fetch multiple times, which may be common, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll just hold on to one promise. We can hold on to that for you and give it back to you everywhere you've called it.
They've effectively taken what is Apollo client and React query, Tansac query. Apologies, Tanner, you're awesome too. But they're taking the concepts that those two libraries have effectively perfected with like fetch policy and everything and said, yeah, we're just going to overwrite the global fetch. And that's just, you're going to need to adopt that. And we've explored this before, right? Like, how many times have people tried to override fetch and like, stop trying to make fetch happen.
So I understand.
Oh, I know. That's a reference.
That is a reference.
I can't remember. Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah. It's Mean Girls.
Ah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just wrote an article about this last week, and it was interesting to kind of learn about all the different pieces of the required for like a server components implementation. But from what I understood about the fetch piece is I think React and Next.js are both extending fetch. React specifically for like the deduping piece for the request, and then Next adding the caching controls on top.
That is even less okay. Like, that's not any better. Like, now that I have multiple libraries making opinionated decisions on a fundamental block like fetch, like, it's not like they're changing their own API. Like, you can do whatever you want. Like, use Axios. I don't even care. Like, but you can't. That's like, classes are different now because we just override it. Like, classes
right. You'd be fine if it was like import fetch from.
Yeah. Next oh yeah. No. That, I would. That's totally fine. That. Use, cool. use fine. From yeah. React. Internally import. Use your own fetch any way you fetch and want. But like, you cannot. That's like, oh, HTTP2? Yeah, we just overrode that. We made our own HTTP2 protocol in React. So, you know, YOLO to you. Like, it is fundamental.
Well, on all top right, of these it, are... the default behavior is to cache. It's fundamentally, like, if you're going in and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll just write a fetch request real quick. And, like, I'm going to add a parameter to it. I'm going to add some things. Like, I don't know at what level they're handling query parameters or invalidate. Like, they don't handle invalidation. Like, it says in the docs very specifically, we're going to cache this request indefinitely. Like, you're going to have so many bugs because of this, because people aren't going to have read that. They're not going to have noticed that. And all of a sudden, like, all my requests are going to, like, we're going to have data leaking all over the place.
Because
I don't like it.
Because data leak. I get like people being frustrated because they're like, my data is not updating even though it should be. It's still showing me the old stuff. What's wrong? But like,
I'm on page one and I want to go to page. Yeah, like I want to go from page one to page two. This also could be a server thing. Like I don't know exactly how. I know there's all the edge function stuff now, and like they're promoting that. That's its own podcast. We're not going to go there right now. But like, how much caching is happening at that level? Like, could two users with the same request? So like, let's say I want to get my current user information, right? If I make that current user request, the fetch is happening on the server using this indefinitely cache thing. Is it just going to pull the last user record? Am I going to get somebody else's user record? Like, that's a serious concern here. I'm hoping the answer is no, but you know, otherwise you're cold starting every single function in the universe, and that would just be insanely expensive and a terrible experience to users. So I don't think Vercel's doing that, but like, how are they mitigating that risk? How are they mitigating that problem? And so Web like, three. Yeah, that's, there's, I, go away. But like, wow. Yeah, fetch is not reliable anymore the second you patch it like this. Like, I'm going to opt out for something else.
Yeah. I don't remember reading about the caching being set up that way by default, but that seems like a very odd choice to me, if it is. So.
I need to send this to you. I just read it right before this as a refresher. I was like, I'm pretty sure I read that when I was playing with it over the weekend, and then I found it again.
It seems like the default should be the exact opposite. Am I off base here?
All right, here it is. I found it. I have it up. We can post the link in somewhere at some point, but if you go to Next.js, building your application, this is the thinking and React section, and it says default caching behavior, and it reads, any data fetching libraries that do not use fetch directly will not affect caching of a route and will be static or dynamic depending on the route segment. If the segment is static, the output of the request will be cached and revalidated if configured alongside the rest of the segment. If the segment is dynamic, the output of the request will not be cached and will be refetched on every request when the segment is rendered. So that's explicitly what it says. There was something else in here that said by default it caches everything, and I got
what do they mean by the segment being static or dynamic though? What does that mean exactly? Because I'm not 100%.
So I believe that's the routing segment, right? So the idea is like, yeah, you know, if you have a just like routes that follow an exact path, okay, like pages,
so
number,
if it doesn't have
but
a
as soon as you get into like one of those ones with boxes, yeah, that says like
okay
ID, and now whatever ID will trigger that, that's dynamic. So
okay.
Yeah, and there was something in here about it. I'm trying to find it.
In the Next.js docs, it says static data fetching by default, fetch will automatically fetch and cache data indefinitely.
Same page. It was just like half a page up from where I was.
And then revalidating data to revalidate, you can call with like an option that says next revalidate whenever in 10 seconds in this case.
And I like how it's next specific, even though this is a React behavior.
Well, maybe this one is actually the next part. Like maybe this, you know, as Dane was saying, React has its own override of fetch, and then maybe next has its own override of fetch too to do with routing.
I felt like when I was looking at it, they were next does the cache stuff on the fetch from what I understand.
Ah, maybe I missed that. I swear I was looking at an example and it was just import fetch from React.
But regardless, at least us graybeards have a problem where we have a global that we're used to working a certain way, and they have made it work a different way. And that
not just a global
wrong,
a standard,
a like standardized
a lib global standard. Is it?
But it, yeah,
it's a lib standard that we really just got a node.
I was gonna say, yeah,
like. It's not just a global variable of React that they change, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's underselling this. You are changing a fundamental standard. Like, it's not fetch, it's rfetch or whatever you want to call it, but it's not it.
He's so when weird. I was writing my article, I was wondering how controversial this topic would end up being. I think I'm getting a good preview here.
Yeah,
maybe people do not like it.
Irrational people who are like can't accept change that they are getting really upset about. Maybe.
Can we mute Adam?
I guess you know that a lot of people are going to have the same sentiment.
But like, okay, hold on. Let's back this up for a second, right? Like, okay, first off, like fetch is now not working how I expected. Two, I'm in server mode by default. I'm having to operate like I'm writing PHP back in 2002. Like I'm adding PHP tags to insert server code and then putting my client code. I'm intermingling. There was my other controversial thought.
Intermingling. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, like I'm basically having to think like I'm writing PHP back in 02. And then like now Fetch is overwritten. Like what JavaScript fundamentals that we all explicitly have learned or implicitly know at this point that are now just wrong.
Okay, like, okay, but right there, I remember a day in 2015-ish, let's say, where somebody made a talk about rethinking best practices, and everyone went, oh, this is awful, look at this. You can't put, like, onclicks directly on the elements. Oh, this is terrible. And look what we've got. We were all right. So what if it's just a matter of putting our trust in the development team, Meta or whatever they are, and just saying like, yeah, let's go with this. It's going to be fine. Or Vercel. Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. It's 1% of the community making decisions for the majority. Like, I think the way that web standard happened in 2015, like there was some pushback. There was a lot of discussion. There was a great RFC out there. People had hot debates about it. And the feedback was well received. The concerns were handled. And then it was rolled out appropriately and effectively in a way that like didn't necessarily damn the current user developer experience. And this is like a very jarring, we're forcing you into this paradigm, whether you like it or not, if you use our tools. And if you go back to not our tools, good luck remembering what the right way to do this is. Like it's a very different like opt-in versus opt-out experience.
Wouldn't we all just be writing web components then? We'd be like, oh yeah, you know, because their radical ideas would have never taken off, and we only live by the standards and the best practices of today. Then we'd all be writing web components right now, right?
But here's the thing: they approached it the same way as the OnClick. It was, here's our spec. Here's what we're proposing. We're going to make it available. You don't have to use this if you don't want to, but we really recommend it. And maybe
React. Like was different, right? People didn't like it, and then they use it and they're like, actually I kind of like it, and then it eventually got super popular.
Yeah, but that's you're comparing, like that's JSX though. That is a different file. It's not a different mode of thinking.
Or the like totally idea of separations of concerns where they were
those are totally fine. Like, those are paradigms, sure. Those are different ways of thinking, different ways of stacking it, sure. Those are not fundamental overrides to a core language. Like those are different arguments entirely.
It's also like at that point that was an opt-in. That was still an opt-in at that point.
Yeah, people, we were writing React in functions. Ugh.
Did anybody do that? Really? You did that? I did that for about a week and then I realized I was a fool.
Only so you knew what JSX was doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because I was all like, I don't think you should mix HTML with JavaScript. And now
it's not even HTML. It's HTML like syntax. If we're actually in each other.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. I disagree with my past self, but that's why I was like, I will only write functions for I am a pure programmer. But it was a bad way to think. And now I regret it. But
this podcast is now four comic book guys. Well, actually, in each other.
Well, actually,
are we about to get sued by a college tour for stealing their bit?
Only when you say it outright.
I don't think Sam will come for us. He's a good guy.
You could get a reference to Fetch early, and then when they override it again back in your application. Like, problem solved.
I don't think you'd have a chance in X. Where would that moment be?
It's pretty early on. I mean, one of the other things that was like interesting about it too, like with this whole fetch override, was mock service worker. I know Dane, you like that library. You introduced it to me. And
I didn't even think about that.
WTF.
They were very what happened to fetch? What the fetch? They were very vocal about it on Twitter, and I think they're still waiting an answer. I didn't see an answer or reply to it, but they were like, yeah, like client, we can still handle for next, but there's this double fetch thing they're doing and we actually can't handle the second thing. The spec's not very clear. And like mock service worker just does not work in Next.js anymore because of how they're handling server components. It's very interesting and it made me sad. I'm curious if the fetch mock has the same issue.
That's a real bummer.
That brings up an interesting idea that what if they had instead, and this obviously, whatever, maybe they thought of it, but what if they had instead of overriding fetch, just made like a service worker mandatory, but I guess then that would erect things because it'd been like, oh, only when service workers work. But it would have been interesting where every fetch, all that deduping and all that caching happened in a service worker rather than a actually changing fetch. That would be interesting, but it didn't.
That probably would have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that but like then I guess you would have not had like older browser support and stuff because you would have been like only when service workers are available and only when they're running too. Which is like
that reminds me. I saw. I think Jesse sent it to me. It was a sub on a Mastodon post, but it was React still supports back all the way back to IE9 with polyfills, and it's just like what was it? It was the Snyder cut of React. Same thing, same size.
Yeah, this Snyder like cut of React 18 is not any shorter.
On a positive note. I watched the demo, the talk that Dan gave at Remix Comp the other day.
Oh, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
It was just a day or two ago, maybe Wednesday. And it was pretty entertaining. It was pretty cool. Where was I going with that? But he built this React app, this server component React app, and he loaded it into Internet Explorer. I guess he did something to make it work in there, but at some point he had to like switch back to the browser to enable certain features, but it was pretty cool to watch. And it really felt the way he did it, the parallels to like PHP, like what if this technology was popular like 10 or 15 years earlier? I thought it was cool.
So what you're saying is new Next and insert React PHP server components job. Is just PHP.
I didn't say that. And also, he didn't use Next for his demo. So
that's true.
Just React
true.
Server components.
So React server components is just PHP Lite.
Now, to be clear, I do like the idea of using the
it's
React
a little bit nicer.
Templating on the server.
Yeah.
It falls short for me when I can't use like fundamental React paradigms like state on the server, and like it gets real short real fast to, like they're going through so many hoops and so like wouldn't we start RSCs like I mean up until this year it was like vaporware, but like I mean, don't see a viable path forward for this that isn't just an absolute mess.
Well, that's the thing. The RFC's been out there for server components forever, and I'll defend Dan on this one. Like he's been claiming that up and down, and he's right. It's been there. It's been sitting there. It's been mostly ignored because it just seemed like vaporware for the last 5 years, and now it's a very real reality for all of us. So, I mean, anybody who wasn't commenting, I think we did lose out on a little bit of the privilege to be like, hey, I don't think this is a great idea, and here's why. We missed our opportunity.
Yeah, but like sail.
Yeah, that ship sailed. I don't play. But like Next, I mean, Vercel in general, like they're a sandbox. Like they control the narrative of their technologies and tools. They're going to do what's best for them. Yeah, Dan did come out. I don't know how accurate the statement was, but saw a post going around Twitter that was like, yeah, Dan and the React team were telling Next and Vercel what to do with Next. I don't know how true that is, but...
Yeah, it's unlikely.
It's somewhat unlikely, but I'm sure there's influence there, especially with like the server component and all that. I mean, I'm sure there's a partnership there, especially considering the docs are built with Next.
And half the core team works at Vercel now. So like
this is also true. So like you have to assume at some point there's influence. At the same time, it's like, could Next and Vercel work a little bit more out in the open, do a little more RFC work there? And I think they did with the app directory, but also it was like a year ago, it was broken when they released it. And then all of a sudden, like, okay, full release here. I was like, okay, did we miss some iterative phases here of like, hey, we've made some improvements. Let's check it out again. Let's reevaluate this. Is it heading in the right direction? I think we missed out on it a little bit. Maybe we're just like, oh, there was a thing. Like, I didn't see it. Did any of you? I don't know. I don't want to claim like I'm omniscient here. I'm not. I have no idea what's happening.
Well, I think that's probably about our time. We did get a little stuck on React Server Components, didn't talk about all the cool features of the app router for like parallel loading, you know, nested layouts, internationalization, all that other cool stuff. And of course, form actions. But we can talk about that next time. As usual, this episode was brought to you by this.labs. They help you fill technology gaps on your software project by accelerating your development processes to achieve better results and delivering higher quality solutions with reduced deployment time. That's fun to say. We should do that every time. So like always, we usually like to end the show with a would you rather. I don't even know if Tracy and Ben keep doing this, but we keep doing it because we're devoted. So would you rather, does anybody have a would you rather off the top of your head? No?
I do.
Would you rather use Next Chance or Remix?
Would you rather write PHP in Symfony in 2002, or you can write Next.js, but you can only use Notepad?
What's wrong with you?
These are your options.
I'm taking Next to Notepad. That's a no-brainer for me.
Really? Notepad?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't. Symfony isn't worth going back to. I swear I'm never going back. If you would have said Laravel.
It has to be still a thing.
It's still a thing. But like, had you said Laravel, I would have been like, yeah, I'll do that. But no, you said Symfony.
Yeah, but we're in 2002. So like, Laravel wasn't around. Like,
no, I know. But it's a no brainer at that point.
Notepad.
I will really suffer through. On Windows, yeah, I'll do it. I'm not going to be happy about it, but I'll do it.
I mean, I'm colorblind, so all the text stuff doesn't really help with me anyway. So yeah, Notepad. I'm going to go with that.
Wow. Dane?
Yeah, Notepad.
Shit.
Booyah.
Jesse, are you Team Symfony?
Yeah, I would use. I would be like, no, absolutely not.
It's fine. This has been another episode of Build It Better. Oh, sorry, Dane. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll just have ChatGPT write my next code, and I'll paste it in the Notepad. Boom, done. Easy peasy.
This has been another episode of Build It Better with our special guests, Dustin Goodman and Dane Grant. Good to have you guys on the podcast.
And,
we'll see you again.
See ya.